welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, we're going to continue on in the message I've been sharing the last couple of days, a vision of the Lord. And I don't know if you've ever had an experience listening to a theologian, a very learned, educated man or woman of God. I know I occasionally on the internet, I will listen, not recently, but years ago. And I was impressed that they had a lot of head knowledge, but they didn't seem to have a lot of heart knowledge. Sometimes the folks who know least about our Savior have delved and can read Greek and Hebrew, but they've never seen Jesus. They've seen the Bible, but they've never seen the living Christ. They've obviously maybe can understand and read Greek, but they've never had a personal experience. They've never looked into the eyes of the man whom the Greeks came to see when they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Remember that? Though these scholars at times, and I'm not just making a blanket statement, that is certainly not true. But there are some, and I think you've perhaps met Christians that it's like a head knowledge, but there's not, or they grew up in church and it's just sort of something they do to add to their schedule. But there's not a living, vital relationship with the Lord. You can sense it, you can tell it. And so, you may be able to read Hebrew if you're a scholar, but if you've never heard the voice of the living God, the voice of that perfect man of God who came to be the Paschal Lamb in the days of long ago, no one can know Him unless they have met Him face to face. Beloved, salvation is a very personal matter. Now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess it with your mouth that He's Lord, that He's Savior, and you will be saved. But that's just the very beginning. That's the starting point. And then that's when we go on to know the Lord. We begin to learn. We begin to read His Word and understand. We're dealing with the God of all creation. We are such, I don't care how brilliant a person could be, our little minds are so finite in understanding the unsearchable riches of Christ, the supreme intelligence that spoke the worlds into existence. Just science. Look at the natural world. It's incredible, the harmony, the way it works all together. How it staggers the mind. The more, if you are, in fact, many scientists are really coming to a knowledge of God. They knew that the intricate detail of this universe and world couldn't just spring up overnight by a great big bang or bang theory, whatever. The point is, however God chose to do it, He spoke the world. However He chose to do it, that was His business. We just know He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Praise God. So going back to Isaiah, apparently this was a very significant moment in what is recorded in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. For the first time in his life, perhaps, he really saw the Lord, the one he'd been serving. And from that hour, he was a new man. He was transformed by the glory of the Lord. And there was a freshness, a newness to his ministry, because obviously God wanted that to occur. It was important that Isaiah was given that tremendous revelation of seeing the heavenly throne room. And it was a pivot upon which his whole life turned. It was as if the hinges of the door that led to the most marvelous revelation and deepest understandings was given to any prophet, if you will, before Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. I mean, he was an amazing prophet of God. All the You cannot add to the Old Testament prophets. God has given us all that we need with those that are recorded in the pages of our Bible. And also, you know what, beloved, for each of us, I remember I was a new Christian. It was Brother Glass, the services 41st and Telegraph, and he would frequently, if there was a visiting minister, he'd allow them to minister. And there was one brother, I can't remember his name, but he would sit down at the piano and he'd play this song, "I Still Have a Vision of Jesus. I still believe His truth can be restored in a church just like the first on the day of Pentecost. And greater things than these shall ye do." It's just a simple chorus. But obviously, we need a vision. The vision that is, and I would dare to say very few of us are walking in the power, in the anointing, in the excitement, in the adventure, if you will, of the First Testament church. You may love God with all of your heart. You may be faithfully serving Him, doing everything you know to do, loving Him and seeking to please Him and ministering and doing good works wherever you can. But beloved, we haven't arrived yet. I don't know about you. My soul is hungry for a vision of Jesus, for a personal experience with a living God, the sort of thing that Isaiah experienced. Excuse me. And what I want to share is we really can't see ourselves until we see Jesus in His holiness. It takes a revelation of the majesty and the glory and the holiness of our God to reveal to us our own sinful and iniquitous heart. That's why it was such an amazing transforming day in the life of Isaiah. That's why it transformed him. He saw the Lord as the Lord really was, and not perchance as Isaiah had known Him to be or supposed Him to be. And beloved, the best way to know Jesus is to know the Christ Himself. The only way we can really understand the grace and glory of His presence is by a personal revelation that He will give to each one of us, that revelation that He gives to human hearts of Himself. And beloved, that is what we need. Beloved, the centuries have come and gone since Isaiah had that vision, but Jesus, our Lord, He's the eternal and unchanging friend. In reality, and I'm sure you've heard this, know this, that there's no final chapter in the book of Acts, if you will. It reads the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. When we see the beauty and the presence of Jesus and experience in our lives, something happens, something transforms us, and we can't hold back. There's a glory that fills our soul that we just have to share. We want to share it. The Acts of the Apostles have never ceased, for the Christ of the Apostles has never died. He's still alive. He came up out of the grave. And it's a wonderful day in the life of any person when they can say, in the year that I ceased to trust in the arm of flesh, in my own strength, in my own abilities, in my own religious and spiritual experiences, I saw the Lord. Remember Mary, the story when she had gone to the garden tomb. And it was the first Easter, and her heart was just broken. They didn't understand what Jesus had been telling them, even before His death. It was resurrection morning, and she had come to anoint the dead Jesus. But He was not there. He was risen, that joyous, glad message that our God had done. He was the first fruits of the dead, born of the dead, if you will. Mary saw the garden. What did she do? She wept. She saw the angels, and she was still crying. She saw the stone rolled away, but that didn't roll away her tears. But when she saw Jesus, that sight transformed her. It turned her sorrow, her grieving, her sobs into unspeakable joy and happiness. She saw Jesus, and the sight of Him in His glory was so transforming. He said, "Don't touch me, I've not yet ascended to my Father." But she was lifted from the deepest depths of heartbreaks to the highest heights of praise. In the year that Mary was dying of a broken heart, she saw the Lord. Beloved, we need that same kind of transformation. I can't even put into words what I know and feel in my spirit, but I know it's a spiritual truth that we all need to lay hold of. It was necessary for Isaiah to have that vision. And beloved, we need a personal experience. I'm not talking going to a new revival store where God can do whatever he wants whenever he wants to do it. But we need a vision of Jesus. Remember the upper room? They had closed doors. And every man in that room, they loved the 120, they loved the Christ who used to be. But to him, he was no more. They were mourning him. Thomas couldn't even believe what was being said. He said Jesus, he felt Jesus was totally dead. And Jesus spoke to him, put your fingers in my hand, in the wound in my side. And he said, my Lord and my God. But before that, he was just a memory. And just like so many, many people in the day in which we live, they basically, they loved the gospel, they loved Jesus, but it was kind of like once upon a time that there was a man who lived who was named Jesus. He used to heal the sick. He used to open blind eyes. Once he walked a Jericho road and made a poor blind leper happy. He healed him in the days of long ago. Beloved, we need to see it today. They may say, well, he made devils tremble by the word of his power, liberated slaves, were bound by the shackles of sin and disease, but he doesn't seem to be doing it today. Beloved, we have to have a spiritual understanding that he hasn't changed. We have to know that he is the resurrected Christ. He is living not only at the right hand of the throne of the Father on high, but he's living with us, with you, with me, where we live. He's walking among the sons of man today. We need Jesus to be real as never before. We need a vision of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, my time is full, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. And if you need prayer, regardless if it's needs of loved ones, of salvation, of family, whatever it may be, or your own personal struggles, I invite you to write. No one answers the mail but me. The announcer will give our contact information. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.